A report out this week shows that some of New Jersey's beaches lost half their sand when Hurricane Sandy slammed ashore. The study raises questions about the smartest and safest ways to rebuild the Jersey shoreline. Earlier today, New Jersey Public Radio's David First sat down with the study's author and asked him about the cost of reconstructing the coast.
Dr. Stuart Farrell, director and founder of the Coastal Research Center at Richard Stockton College, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Your study shows New Jersey's beaches are 30 to 40 feet narrower on average after the storm. Can you explain how you arrived at this number?
Well, we have been directed by the NJDEP to survey 105 sites two times yearly, every year since 1986. And essentially, we have arrived at a traditional position for the shoreline, which we determined to be the, basically it's an engineering zero datum elevation, but that position is moves back and forth towards or away from the beach depending on what happens. So the beach gets narrower relative to its reference position behind the dunes. That's what we're talking about.
Was there any particular method of beach engineering that helped beaches make it through the storm better than others?
Well, we went immediately to Long Beach Island to assess before anything got altered by the effort to, you know, restore stuff, and took a long, hard look at the 13 sites on the island and where a federal designed beach nourishment project had taken place. The damages were far, far less. In fact, in some cases, just damage to the dune itself. We found that a third to a half of the dune was eroded away. And all that sand was still on the shoreline. So that was offshore. It was in the beach face area, not back in the town. And where there had not been such a project, the dune was quite narrow, and the beach in front of it was fairly narrow, 50, 60 feet instead of 200. So that made all the difference in the wave run-up and the where the waves broke relative to where the homes were.
Governor Christie issued a post-Sandy decision to allow county and local governments to bypass the Department of Environmental Protection permit process in order to quickly replace public infrastructure like roads and bridges. What's the number one issue developers should have in mind as rebuilding moves forward?
Well, the key element is going to be the elevation of the first floor above this new storm surge elevation. Houses that were on foundations really took a bad hit there in Ortley Beach and even in Manteloking, where they were big houses built in the turn of the century out of really good materials. And if the waves can dig around the foundation, it doesn't take them long to wreck the house. So as a consequence, the dune and its associated beach width are the combination of things that allows the continued recreational use of the, you know, Jersey Shore, as we've been used to it for, you know, 150 years. However, the dune would have to be 25 feet high. It would have to be 100 feet thick at its base. And the beach out front at elevation 6 or 8 feet would have to be a couple hundred feet wide. That's a lot of sand. And that has to come from sources yet to be identified at some considerable cost. But, you know, let's my friends in the tourist business say New Jersey earns $30 to $35 billion a year as its tourist industry revenue. That's actually a fairly small price to pay for maintenance of the industry, I would think.
Dr. Stuart Farrell, director and founder of the Coastal Research Center at Richard Stockton College, thanks for speaking with us.
Well, I'm very happy to do so. Thank you.
That was New Jersey Public Radio's David First reporting.